The postcard was nestled between Variety and the Edison bill. Just an ordinary picture postcard. White front proclaimed Malibu across the Mai Tai-colored sunset. I turned the card over and there was the spidery black writing I had thought I would never see again. Miss me? No signature. No signature needed. I looked at the postmark. Pacific Coast Highway. Yesterday's date. I stared for a long time while Dan's deep voice receded into the cries of the gulls overhead and the pound of the waves on the beach a few yards away, until those two faded to a kind of white noise. No. God. Then Dan stretched across and took the card from my unresisting hand, and I was abruptly returned to the present. The wooden chair creaked as he leaned back, his long, muscular body at ease. His dark brows drew together. Absently, he raked his still wet hair back. It wasn't like there was a lot to read. One simple sentence. Miss me? A rhetorical question, if there ever was one. Water glistened on Dan's broad, sun-browned shoulders, one drop trickling down between his rock-hard pecs, sparkling through the dusting of dark hair across his flat abdomen. The tiny flicker of irritation I'd felt at his arrogance faded in the wake of lust. After he'd spent nearly a month playing bodyguard to the stars, I couldn't blame him if he still occasionally reacted like he was getting paid for overtime. "It's not happened," he said, and tossed the card to the table. It landed face up in a blob of crabapple jelly. "The writing is the same." "Superficially. We'd have to get it analyzed. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Say one of his cards was delayed for a few days. It doesn't change the fact that he's dead." "If he is dead." His eyes, blue as the surf behind him, met mine levelly. "Sean, he's dead. I saw the car. No one could have survived that crash."
"Then why wasn't his body recovered?"
"It's somewhere in the aqueduct. I don't know. It must have been swept away or lodged somehow." I nodded tightly. It's not like there's high tide in the California aqueduct. Dan's large hand slid under my fingers, nervously fiddling with a teaspoon. "It's over, Chief. Trust me."
"I do."
It came out more husky than I'd intended. He turned my hand palm up, lightly kissing it. The warmth of his lips against my surf-chilled skin made me shiver. I dropped the teaspoon. It hit the edge of my saucer with a silvery chime. He grinned. "You only ever hear about closeted cops, so Dan's relaxed attitude still caught me off guard. He was probably more at ease with his sexuality than half the civilians I knew. He sure as hell was more relaxed than me." I pulled my hand away at the familiar yap-yapping of the four-legged hairball belonging to our nearest neighbor, Mrs. Wilgie. Sure enough, a moment later, Mrs. Wiggly came around the cairn of rocks, armed with her usual binoculars and police whistle. I caught Dan's eye. His grin was wry. He was getting to read me pretty well. I said, "Hey, for all I know, Mrs. Wiggly has a spy cam concealed in her muumuu." He forked another waffle off the plate. "I don't even want to think about what that muumuu conceals." I laughed. My glance fell on the jam-stained postcard, and I made myself look away. If Dan said it was over, it was over. He was the expert here. All the same, after a year of being stalked, it wasn't so easy to drop my guard. 1 week after Paul Hammond lost control of his car during a police chase on Highway 138 and crashed into the California aqueduct, I still tensed when the phone rang, waiting for that familiar whisper.